Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Cliff Avril Family Foundation has donated $50,000 to Seattle-based organizations impacted by COVID-19. And the former Seahawk and Detroit Lion, and Cliff Avril is kind enough to join us once again on the Zach Gelb Show. Cliff, how are you and the family holding up? Thanks for a few minutes.
Oh, no, all is well. All is well. Just staying out the way, man, at home, just getting some family time in, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. You know, we're all adjusting and we're all turning our lives upside down. So it's an adjustment period right now. But you know what it's like doing these types of shows. So doing them out of your house, a little bit different.
Yeah, I'm sure. We're all trying to figure this whole thing out, man. But I think, you know, we just got to weather the storm. I think we're going to be all right.
I hope so. Are you still living in Seattle?
I am out here full time, man, and even more of a reason to stay at home right now, because it's serious right out here right now, man.
Yeah, give us a little feel, since you're there out there in Seattle, and what life is like on the opposite coast, since we're seeing what it's like right now on the East Coast right here in New York.
It's different from the standpoint of, man, you know, they've kind of shut down all the restaurants, bars, everything. So, you know, when you get in your car and you ride around, it's like a ghost town, man. And it's completely different from what you're used to seeing. Nobody's walking around. What you do see, though, a little bit more of, though, which I think is the positive of all this lockdown, in a sense, is, you know, there's more family time. So you see a lot more families walking around the neighborhoods and you know, kind of doing their family times out and about to get out the house, which is great, because I do think we kind of lost those fundamentals of just being able to stick it out with your family and being with your family and kids.
How old are your kids now, Cliff?
I got an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old.
How do you explain it to the 8-year-old right now?
Well, he kind of knows what's going on, right? Because he's not going to school. He's doing a lot of e-learning with his classmates and different things like that. So they're talking about it as well. But it's just more of a, you know, there's a virus out there right now. And, you know, we got to be careful. That's why we're always washing our hands when we walk back into the house and different things like that. And he understands that concept. My youngest, I've been telling everybody this, you know, out of both of them, really, they both have come, woke up and like, hey, are we going to school today? Like, happy about it.
Wow.
Like, the last 4 or 5 years, you guys didn't care at all about going to school, but now you want to. So that's been pretty cool to see.
Well, the things that you think you hate in life, you really grow an appreciation for it when the little things get taken away from you. That's what I've learned the most throughout this. When those little things get taken away, it's tough. And I want to commend you, by the way, you and your foundation that do great work all the time, donating $50,000 to Seattle-based organizations. Take us a little bit through that decision and what you hope gets accomplished by it.
Well, you know, first and foremost, obviously, you know, we're fortunate enough to be in a space where we can help those that might be struggling a little bit more than you know, myself or whatnot. But it's more of just understanding, man, you know, a lot of kids in the inner city here in Seattle and really across the country, a lot of these kids, you know, they're depending on breakfast and lunch. Like, that's part of one of the main reasons why they go to school, honestly, is to be able to eat, you know. So I took it upon myself, my wife and I, we decided we want to donate to a few different organizations that were still open for the kids to be able to do just that. They're feeding them breakfast, they're feeding them lunch, and they have a place to be able to get their food for the day as if they were still in school. So we funded the Boys and Girls Club of King County here to be able to feed over 150 kids for the next month, hoping that, you know, they'll be back in school within the next month. And then there's a couple other you know, charity or organizations that we partnered up with as well that actually give out backpacks full of food to about 500 families so they can take it back to their actual family and, you know, be able to have a meal for the entire family. So I think that's important for us, again, to just understand that a lot of people are jobless right now. Kids aren't going to school. So there's the small things that we used to take for granted of, you know, every day. A lot of people don't get to do that right now. So if we're fortunate enough to be able to give back, I think we should.
Could not have said it any better. Cliff Averill here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. When we get to some football, though, right now, Cliff, and when we look at the Seahawks, and we know that organization has gone through many changes, but they keep on finding a way to get back to the postseason. What have been your biggest impressions the last 2 years, and how far away do you think that team is from getting back to the big game?
Well, it sounds like they're right back where they were, what is that, 2012, right? I think they need to get that pass rush going. And that's when they called up on myself and Michael Bennett. Now, I don't want to say we were the game changers, but I think
that
changed a little bit when we got here. But no, in all reality, in seriousness, I think, you know, they have to figure something out with the pass rush. Last year, it wasn't that good. You know, they have some playmakers on their D line. They just weren't able to execute. A lot of guys not on the same page. You know, you get somebody like Clowney, who got there literally 5 days before a game. It's hard. It's much more than just putting your hand in the dirt and going. Like, you have to have that vibe. You have to have that camaraderie on that D line. So they're trying to figure that out. They brought Bruce Irvin back, which I think is a big pickup. They brought they signed Jaron Reed to a 2-year deal, which again I think is huge for them in that defense, in that front four. Now let's see who else they can add to the pieces. Can they get Clowney back? You know, I think they'll be able to get him for way less than what he wants. Maybe he signs a 1-year deal and tries this thing all over again. But I do think they need to add a couple more pieces to that front four, and that will take them to the next step for sure.
Take the Seahawks cap off for a second. Is Clowney back on that team next year or somewhere else?
I think he's back on that team. And the reason why I say I think he's back on that team, the mark, what he was looking for, and which I really think he deserves, you know, what he was looking for, unfortunately, that time has come and gone. Anybody that knows free agency, the top guys get their money the first couple of days, and after that, you know, kind of trickles down from there. So I think that's kind of gone. So I think if I'm Clowney and if I'm in free agency right now, I'm going to the team that, one, wants me the most and probably going to pay me the most for that year, but also a team that I'm familiar with, right? You know the system. You know the coaches. You know what to expect from them. They know what to expect from you. And you give yourself the biggest opportunity and possibility to go out there and perform at a high level instead of going into a new situation, new scheme, new system. Kind of got to learn things all over again, and it takes you a little bit longer to, you know, get going early in the season. So I do think Clowney, long story short, I do think Clowney signs back with the Seahawks.
Talking to the former Seahawk and Detroit Lion, Cliff Averill right now on the Zach Gelb Show. What's going to happen with the Lions? You think they're taking Tua at three, or they're going to keep Stafford there for their guys the foreseeable future?
Oh, man. You know, it's a new coaching staff out there. Well, Staff's been there with them for 2 years now. You know what? I think Staff is still one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the league because obviously he hasn't been able to win as much. But anybody in the NFL that's played against Staff, you know what he can do. And, you know, so I think they stick it out with Staff because, one, you know what you got with him. Yeah, he's coming off of an injury, but you know where he's at. Or do you go with a young Tua, who I think is going to be electrifying, but those coaching staff, the Lions coaching staff, they don't have 2 years to wait, right? So you might as well go with the guy you have right now instead of waiting on Tua, hoping that he's not hurt, hoping that he can come out there and be productive for you. So I see Staff being the head guy there for the next year.
Cliff Averill, what do you make of the Darius Slay story with what Patricia, you know, allegedly said to him? And take me through that dynamic where maybe a coach has said something to you before in the past that you had a problem with and how you handle it.
Yeah, I was reading up on that. And, you know, I do think, and it does happen, so for anybody that might think, you know, the player's out of line or it doesn't happen, it does happen in the locker room and with football coaches. I just think certain coaches have that credibility, right? Somebody like Belichick, for example, you know, your 6 Super Bowl rings, you know, you got all these championships, like, you can talk a little sideways to players and they'll be receptive to it because you have the merchandise, you have the rings to back it up, right? But now if you're first year in, your second year in, as a head coach, I've been playing in the league for 6-7 years, this is a mutual respect that we have to have for one another. I respect that you're the head coach, but I've also been playing this game for a long period of time, so we have to be on the same page. So don't come at me sideways, right? Don't come to disrespect me or anything like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if the coach did come at him that way, and he shouldn't be surprised in the response that he gets from the player either, right? Because you have to respect your veterans. So with all that being said, it's unfortunate, but it does happen, and I'm not surprised that Slay said something back.
How about the one with Bill O'Brien, trading DeAndre Hopkins, and then, the way the story goes via Michael Irvin is that O'Brien called him in for a meeting, and he said the last time I had one of these meetings was with Aaron Hernandez, and you read the DeAndre Hopkins, background, he's never been in any problems. I still scratch my head, and I don't get what O'Brien was doing trading away DeAndre Hopkins.
Man, this offseason has been interesting nonetheless. I don't understand it either, right? You start bringing up other players that you had, and coaches always try to, like, with coaches, they it's like they have a lot of coaches. I won't say all of them. A lot of coaches have, hey, this is when this happens, this is a red flag, or he's not tall enough, so he can't play this position, or they have this blueprint of what players are supposed to look like and where they come from and backgrounds and different things like that. So to say somebody looks like someone that obviously has a bad reputation, I think is wrong on all accounts. He's never been an issue. He's probably a real good teammate. And this man puts up crazy numbers, right? So, to have that type of conversation to say that about him, I think is wrong. And then to trade him, I mean, your job is on the line too, coach. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you have a young quarterback that clearly is successful with this wide receiver, and you had a lot of success with him, and then boom, all because you feel some kind of way about him, you get rid of him, and then now you're putting this quarterback's career kind of might stall it out a little bit because he doesn't have his number one weapon, and on top of that, you might lose your job, honestly, within the next year or two because you just let go of this wide receiver. So it's just interesting. Maybe it's a little bit more than we know, but the whole situation is just different and weird.
Well, how does Bill O'Brien now, Cliff Avril, win back that locker room? Because if you just read Deshaun Watson's social media the other day, I'm not thinking that's just song lyrics. That's him putting out a little frustration on Twitter because he can't be happy right now. So how does he win back the Texans, the coach?
It's hard. First and foremost, you got to win back your quarterback.
Yeah.
You got to win back that young quarterback because
Cliff, you know how this works. If the quarterback starts to tune out the coach is going to be on the street.
It's a wrap. No, it's a wrap. Like you can't win back the locker room. One, if your quarterback's not on the same page as you, the locker room's not on the same page as you. Because a quarterback, especially a young quarterback like himself, you can tell everybody gravitates towards him. You can tell everybody loves the way he goes about his business. And if you're not on the same page with him, I think that's strike one. And on top of that, again, Deshaun Watson's no idiot. He understands what Hopkins brings to the table. He understands. Without him, his productivity might go down a little bit. So, of course, he's frustrated. Of course, everybody wants the best opportunity to be able to go out there and perform at the highest level and get wins. And that move right there was not a move that any quarterback or any player in that locker room, everybody's kind of scratching their head right now trying to figure out what the heck is going on.
Were you surprised Brady left?
I am. I was one of those guys that was thinking Brady was going to be there for the long haul, to be honest with you. I was thinking this was all smoke and mirrors. I was thinking that they're gonna find a way. But then I let my emotions get it to me and forgetting that the NFL doesn't care. Like, the NFL doesn't care. What you've done for them in the last 20 years is what can you do for me moving forward. And this is the ultimate sign of that, right? This man has put the team on his back. He's been the poster boy. He's done nothing wrong but won championships with you. And then towards the end of his career, you can't give him what you think, what he should have gotten. He's been taking pay cuts and all this other stuff. If you really wanted to keep him there, you could have kept him there. And I'm quite surprised that they didn't make it happen.
No, I'm with you too. Cliff Avril, all the best when it's safe to travel again. I'm expecting an invite on one of those vacations with yourself and Mr. Bennett, and I'll be there on your dime. So I appreciate it as always.
I appreciate you guys for having me, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.